Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Aris Zukanayan.
Blessed December, City Harvest. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year ahead. What a great video that we have just watched just now. And I want to encourage you, next week, we are going to have our first ever Christmas celebration online. And we have prepared a great presentation for you. So I want to encourage you to bring along your friends and your families to watch the service together, of course, within the safety protocols of the law. Or send the link of our services to them. Tag them in your social media. Or better still, meet them up in the days leading up to the weekend services over a meal and share with them the love of Christ with prayer. You know what? Like what we have seen just now from the video, let's make this Christmas more purposeful, personal, and warm. How many of you agree with me? We all need it after what we have all gone through this year. Now that's why, going into 2021, we all agree also that it is not going to be easy either. Because until the vaccine is fully out, the government has already said that we will remain in phase 2 mode. And even if we go on to phase 3, it will still be very much limited and also uncertain. And that's why I want to encourage you today, City Harvest, as we approach Christmas and the new year. I want to start and begin by reading to you John chapter 12, verse 26. The Bible says, Jesus says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Did you see that? It doesn't say that as a believer, you will not go through darkness. But the verse says, with Jesus, you don't have to stay in darkness. Very different thing. Unfortunately, the feeling of uncertainty, anxiety, and fear that you and I are experiencing today because of COVID-19 is very real and it is hard to shake off. But I want to encourage you, City Harvest, even though we Christians have to face darkness no matter what, with Jesus, you don't have to stay in darkness. This Christmas season, God wants to bring us out from our darkness into His marvelous light. And especially as we approach this end of the year, going into 2021, when the light at the end of the tunnel seems so far away, I want to share with you today from the life of King David in Psalms chapter 3, how King David overcame his fear and anxiety as he was facing one of the darkest moments in his life as a king. And I hope that today, you and I can identify with King David. You see, church, Psalms chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 8, David said like this, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord. Deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. And may your blessing be on your people. Hallelujah. How many of you can say amen? Now, church, very interesting over here. This verse, when David wrote these Psalms over here, it was during a season of his most difficult time. And yet, the first thing that you got to know is this. The emotions that David wrote or displayed in these Psalms and also in many parts of Psalms, when you read them, you will realize they are all often very raw, very intense, and very real, or what we call as very human. Sometimes, what David said to God or how David expressed out his feelings to God is so real and it is so raw that when you and I, as Christians, read about them in the book of Psalms, sometimes it can make us a bit uncomfortable. And yet, God is very okay with it. Even though it seems so raw, it seems so real, it seems so human. And it's almost as if David was ranting out all his feelings about God. Yet, God is very okay with it. Now, church, the presence of God is the place for you to process your emotions, not to bypass your emotions. And this is where the book of Psalms is teaching us. It is the third way, or it is the biblical way, that you and I can approach our emotions during times of crisis. You know what, church? On one hand, we have the religious approach to emotions. When you and I go through crisis, you will experience a lot of negative emotions. And the religious approach to emotions is this. They will tell you, stuff them away. Deny them. Act like it is not there. Why? Because all these strong emotions make you look weak in God's eyes and to the people around you. Therefore, you need to always put up a brave front in front of God and in front of other Christians. You need to take control over your emotions quickly. So the way to do it, the religious approach, is to not admit that it is there. But how many of you agree with me? Such an approach is not healthy. How many of you can say amen? Now, there is this second approach to emotions when you and I go through crisis. And it is the secular way, where it says, you know what? Emotions are good. Feelings are meant to be expressed. So what you need to do is just express them unreservedly, because those emotions are good in itself for you. So you know what they ask you to do? The secular approach? Just rant it, vent it unreservedly. If you are angry, you know what? Just post them all up in Facebook, in your Instagram, and you can rant and you can vent all you want. And you can, you know, basically tell you, you can scold and you can shame, you can publicly cancel them, those people that hurt you, those people that you are against. Tell all your feelings. Tell the whole world about it, unreservedly. But friends, how many of you know, this approach is also not helpful. The first one is not healthy. The second one, it is not helpful. Now, church, the Psalms doesn't do either. It does not say we should be under the weight of our emotions or be overawed by our emotions. Instead, like David over here, he is telling us we must learn to pray through them. Hallelujah. And to pray through our emotions when we are going through crisis or discouragement, it means this. It is to pre-reflectively pour those emotions in the presence of God and then process them there in His presence. That means God wants you to tell God exactly how you feel. If you are feeling anxious, if you are feeling fearful, if you are feeling discouraged, if you are disappointed with God, if you are disappointed with, you know, the surrounding, with the people around you, God wants you to tell Him exactly how you feel. But God wants you to bring that feeling in God's presence and allow God to work through your heart. He wants you to process those emotions in His presence. You see, church, over here, David was doing exactly that. Because David was not just feeling fearful in Psalms chapter 3. He was also feeling anxious. He says, verse 3, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Why? Because Absalom, his son, has just threatened to kill him. Can you imagine your own son threatened to kill you? But more than that, guess what? In verse 2, he also said, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. That means more than just a physical threat that he is facing, there is also a threat or an attack on his identity and his faith in God. Basically, this verse is like saying to him, David, guess what? God has abandoned you and has decided to not choose you anymore. Wow. And like King Saul, you have also committed many sins and mistakes. So now, David, your sins and your mistakes have finally caught up with you. Guess what? God is no longer with you. Wow. Friends, how many of you can identify if you are in the same position like David, where your physical existence is threatened, your identity and your spiritual reality will all being threatened at once, like David, you will be probably feeling the same. Fearful, anxious. And David that day was at the lowest pit of his life. How many of you can identify with David over here? And yet, City Harvest Church, this Christmas season, I want you to see, in just a few verses after that, David managed to say in verse 6, I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Wow, praise the Lord. In just 3 verses, somehow David has discovered a way of praying through his fear to get to a place of trust and peace in God. To a place where somehow he can handle the fear and the anxiety concerning the crisis that he is going through right now. How did he do that? How many of you want to know? What did David do so that you and I can learn from it? How many of you can say amen? Well, guess what, City Harvest? The answer can be found in verse 3. Right? Look at verse 3. He says, but you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and He answers me from His holy mountain. Church, very important. When David was feeling at his lowest, look at what he says in verse 3, the first statement, he realized, but God. But you, O Lord, but God. Now church, but God means God is not finished with him and neither is he finished with you. David began to realize that there is another side to his pain. Behind every crisis, there is always a purpose. And the word but God means David that day obtained a fresh perspective from God's point of view concerning his situation. Now, church, you and God can be looking at the same crisis, but you and God can be seeing 2 different things. So you can be looking at the same thing, but you are not seeing the same thing. Because in your level, in your perspective, you are looking at your crisis and can only see pain. But when God sees your crisis, He is seeing purpose. God didn't remove the crisis is still there, but He obtained a fresh perspective from God's point of view. We always say, when you go through crisis, don't just pray for protection, pray for perspective. But God, and David obtained fresh perspective from God that day that helped him handle his fear and anxiety and overcame them. What kind of perspective did David receive from the Lord? I'm glad you asked. Point number 1. He realized God's shield of protection only works when we are willing to face the danger, not run away from danger. Hallelujah. God's shield of protection only works when we face the danger, not run away from danger. Look at verse 3. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. Now, church, take note. He says, you are a shield around me. He didn't say, you are a shield to me. He said, you are a shield around me. Now, church, if you watch the Avengers Endgame, which I'm sure many of you watch it, you would realize that there are 2 kinds of shield that they use. The first one is the Captain America's shield that he used for hand-to-hand combat as he fight. Now, the second shield is the one they use in Wakanda, where it enveloped the entire city as they prepared themselves to face the enemies in battle. Now, church, take note. Both shields that they use are only useful when you go to war, when you use them to fight the enemy head-on. Church, you don't use a shield to cook Maggie Mee or instant noodle. You don't use a shield, right, for just simply decoration. that shield is only useful for you when you go to war. You see, David that day realized, God's shield is not the kind of shield that gets you out or away from danger or from crisis. No, it is a protection. It is a shield that protects you while you are in crisis, while you are facing danger head on. David here is saying, I know you are not a God who won't let bad things happen to me. I know I will face darkness, but I know that you are a God who will not cause me to remain in darkness. I am scared, but I know that you are a God who is with me in danger, and that your shield and that your protection only works where I go forward to face the danger, not run away from danger. Hallelujah. How many of you can say amen? You got to put it there in your YouTube chat. Amen to that. David realized that God is going to shield him with them and in them. The protection of God is with you and works inside you. What do you mean by in them? What do you mean that you are protected in God's protection? It means that God knows that even when anything bad happens to you, as long as you are in God, those bad things will still be used by God for your good. That even when I am hurt today, it is still a protection from God to prevent me from a greater hurt tomorrow, as long as I want to remain to face the danger, not run away from the responsibilities, not run away from danger. How many of you can say amen? God's protection only works when you are willing to face your danger, when you are willing to face your crisis. City Harvest Church, this Christmas, God wants to strengthen you. God wants to strengthen your faith so that you will not cower down, so that you will not, you know, be defeated in your faith. He wants you to have faith in God and to face difficulties and troubles head on, because His protection will work as you face the danger. You know what? Last year, just 2 days before Christmas, on 23rd of December, my cell group leader, Ken Chu, had an accident where he hit an old uncle who was crossing the road on his bicycle. And you know what? Ken was investigated by the police, but praise the Lord, in March 2020 this year, finally, he was subsequently cleared of any negligence based on the video camera in the car. Now, the pedestrian light was red, but uncle was still crossing, and the accident left the man with abrasions and a cut on his leg. Now, church, you must understand, this happened during Christmas time. It's supposed to be a season of joy, celebration, but this accident cast a shadow on the festive season and the mood in Kansas' heart. At a time when he's supposed to be winding down from his busy year, he now has to face this situation with many inconvenience and anxiety. But church, you wish you can run away from this responsibility, isn't it? Or you wish that you can pray that the uncle will just simply let this incident go, just like that. But friends, God's protection only works when you are willing to face the responsibility, not run away from danger. Ken could have just fulfilled his responsibility by sending Uncle Huang to the hospital, but instead, do you know, he visited him several times during the 2 weeks he was warded. After he was discharged, for the next 3 months, Ken continued to send Uncle Huang to the hospital clinic to replace his dressing 2 to 3 times a week. Because Uncle Huang is diabetic and his wounds needed special care and attention. Subsequently, Ken also sent him to check his eye, and they found out that his right eye was bleeding inside, causing a black hole that was blocking his vision. And this explains why he couldn't see the traffic light clearly and cross the road when the light was red. Now, with this discovery, a new medical procedure began, and Ken kept on sending Uncle Huang to the National Eye Center once a month for eye injection. And this continues until today. In May this year, Uncle Huang's 79-year-old brother, Uncle Tian, who lives with him, was found to have last-stage cancer. Ken decided to help Uncle Tian as well by bringing him to his medical appointments and reviews even until today. And in the course of 5 months, from July to November 2020, Ken has brought Uncle Tien for 46 reviews and appointments, with each review taking up 3 hours or more waiting time. But through this episode, Ken got to know many things about these two uncles' family life. God had a purpose. They are both very strong and independent because they have both been through a tough life. And He has caused them to be very locked up in their emotions inside. When Uncle Huang found out that his brother had cancer, he was very indifferent, showed no feelings of sadness, even though they lived together. But later on, Ken found out that they also have an estranged elder sister who is also suffering last-stage cancer. One night, Ken decided to visit the two uncles and told them that their sister was in critical condition and may pass on anytime. He persuaded them to go see their sister for one last time, and they managed to reunite with their sister 15 minutes before she passed on. The last meeting they had were many years ago, but that day, they were there to see her breathe her last breath. And before they left her bedside, Uncle Huang suddenly shouted and cried emotionally in Hokkien. He said these words, "The last time I saw you was 40 years ago, and now you are gone." It was like a release of all the lock-up emotions for Uncle Huang, and he got in touch with his feelings once again. You know what, church? While driving them home, Ken decided to tell them that their elder sister had actually become a Christian. Her daughter told Ken that one night while sleeping, Auntie dreamt of a huge poster of Jesus looking up to the sky praying, and Jesus turned to smile at her. Ken told the uncles that Jesus is real, and right there and then asked them if they want to accept Jesus into their life. You know what, church? They said yes. And He led them, the both of them, through the sinner's prayers to accept Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? Ken said this. Throughout this episode, since the accident happened, it was inconvenient, troublesome, time-consuming, tiring, more expenses, more work, more hassle, spending lesser time for family and work, clash in schedules to fit their timing. But that is exactly what Jesus did for me. He died for me. And at the end of the day, it is when lives are touched, all the inconvenience and troubles are worth it. Did you see that, church? God's protection only works when you are willing to face the responsibility, not run away from it. Ken said this, Psalms 41, verse 1. "Blessed is the one who considers the poor, because in the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him." And that's exactly what God did for David. Because as he began to see a perspective to have the courage to face his danger, he finally can see God's salvation purpose for his life. Hallelujah. Let's give God a big round of applause for that. Now, number two, what did David do? The second perspective that he received from the Lord that caused him to overcome his fear and his anxiety. The first one, right? He saw that he needed to face his danger head on. Number two, relocate your glory and see God's salvation plan for you. Now, the verse continues. Remember verse 3? "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, He answers me from His holy mountain." David continues by saying this, not only, "But you, Lord, are my shield," he continued, "But you, Lord, are my glory." Now, get this. David would not say, "But you are my glory," unless something else has been his glory before God. Agree? Now, glory means weight, kavod, or significance. What did David see? What perspective did David receive from God? You see, church, David realized that all this while, what he has put his weight upon, what he had built his identity and security and significance on, had now been completely taken away from him. You see, church, his glory, right? His glory could be, he thought that his life significance is to be a popular king. But guess what? At that moment, he's no longer a king. Not anymore. Maybe he thought that his significance in life is to become just a good father. Well, guess what? That day, his own son betrayed him and rebelled against him. He thought that his significance, his identity, is found on his good moral record as a Christian. Well, guess what? David committed adultery, murder, and many other sins. He thought that his significance is found in his power as a successful king. Well, guess what? His kingdom has been taken away from him. He has no more power. He has no more popularity. He has nothing. Everything that he has built upon, all the glory that he has built upon and put upon his life, his significance, are all taken away from him. Here was a man who finally admitted or have a perspective that all that he had put his identity and security upon, his significance, all that he has put his glory upon, are all now useless. Listen, church, as long as you put your security on something that is always changing, you will always try to not lose them. You will try to control them to the max so that you won't lose them. That, my friend, can be very enslaving and an illusion. That's why at this point, David reflected upon himself and he began to see and discover why he was so fearful and anxious in the first place. You see, City Harvest, facing your fear, just now point number one, is good, but it is not enough. Because not only you have to face your fear, you also need to find out why are you so afraid in the very first place. You have to see inside your heart, why are you so fearful and anxious? And David realized that the reason he became so afraid and anxious was because he had put his security on things that are finite and unstable. And it is time to do things differently. Relocate his glory back to God. Hallelujah. City Harvest Church, friends, this Christmas season, it's time to do things differently. It's time to end the year differently, and it's time to start 2021 differently. How? By relocating your significance, your identity, and your glory back to God. Because only Him can provide stability, only Him can provide significance and security. He realized that God is the lifter of His head. That means He is someone who says to you, David, I'm proud of you. No matter what you do or who you are. I don't care whether you are a popular king. I don't care you are a king or not. I'm already proud of you. I already love you. No longer popularity. No longer power, possessions, positions, people. David realized only God's approval that matters. Nothing else. And David that day relocated his glory, his significance back to God. And as you do the same, you will see God's salvation plan for your life. You will become calm. You will obtain peace. And you will not be perturbed by the surroundings around you, by the crisis and the danger ahead of you. You will realize, with God being my security and my safety, He will surely bring me to the other side and He will always protect me even when I am in danger. How many of you can say amen? Hallelujah. That's why the last verse says, David said this, from the Lord comes deliverance, and may your blessing be on your people. You know what? I want to end by sharing to you this wonderful testimony. I have a member, Pak Gunawan. He's the owner of a company that manufactures electrical equipment dealing with national projects in Indonesia. Well, 2019 was the best year of the company's history because they managed to win the bid for their biggest tender project. But very soon, while they were still delivering goods as per customers' requests, they begin to notice that this year, their customers started to drag their payments longer and longer than the usual 60 days. This dragged on up to this year, June 2020, and it has put tremendous pressure on its cash flow. when Indonesia announced its first COVID-19 case, went into partial lockdown, Pak Gunawan was faced with a huge dilemma. Because on one hand, from a businessman point of view, his cash flow has gone worse, his customer is still not paying him, his production had to stop, and there was no income coming in. He thought, perfect opportunity to lay off his employees, to reduce his staff salaries. But yet, on the other hand, as a Christian businessman, he struggled at the thought of laying his people off in this very difficult time. He was reminded, Jesus says, you must treat others like how you yourself want to be treated. So in the end, he chose to obey God and decided to still pay the staff and workers 100% of their salary, even though they were all working from home. And for the workers, practically meant that they got paid while they were not working at all. Now, church, these decisions have consequences. And by June this year, the situation got so bad that he finally ran out of cash and the company had fully maximized their credit facility from the bank. And the fear and the anxiety of losing his company was becoming very, very real. But he chose to face his fear rather than run away from the problems. So like David, Pak Gunawan, together with his family, cried out to the Lord for help. And during those times in prayer, God began to speak to him, give him a fresh perspective through some messages. Something that spoke to him in his IG message, he said, you need to stop listening to the voice of the world so that you may listen to God's voice. So he held on to this word, waiting for God to speak to him. And yet, time went by and the situation remained the same. The cycle of God's lack of action and frustration continued. His faith began to waver and he wondered if it is worth it to obey God. In mid-July, someone introduced him to a middleman who he claimed was able to help him get his payment from the customer. He was very excited, thinking that this is God's answer to his prayer. But he found out later that it would require him to give that middleman 10% of the debts owed to him, and the deadline given to him was July the 26th. The deadline was too soon. The amount was too big. The danger of this being a scam was also possible. Many Indonesian businessmen were scammed during this period of financial pressure, and they succumbed to such scams and ended up having more debts. He and his wife decided to keep praying, to ask God for direction. And on July 20th, 6 days before the pressing deadline, there was one message that really struck him. He says, the message was, forgive me for picking back up what I've already laid down at your feet. And that's when he knew that the Lord wanted him to trust him and not rely on his own strength or other people. God wanted him to relocate his glory. Hallelujah. And reluctantly, he rejected the deal. Church, obedience is difficult, but disobedience is fatal. Obeying Christ is not easy, very uncomfortable, but that's how his protection works. God wants you to trust in him rather than in men. Amazingly, the day after he rejected the deal, on the 27th of July, at 9:34 a.m. Jakarta time, his office texted him to tell him that the customer suddenly initiated payments and started paying those invoices one by one, all at once. And he said, since July until now, the miracles just kept on coming. The payments kept on coming. He was able to pay his suppliers, operational expenses, and even started paying back some of the bank loan. And to date, he told me that the amount he received is even more than all his income from the previous years. God showed him that if we are faithful to him, that if we relocate our glory to him, he will cause us to see his salvation plan for you and I. He will not forsake us. Church, God's shield of protection only works when we face the danger, not run away from danger. And number two, like David, relocate your glory and you will see God's salvation plan for you. Church, I want to end by saying this. Do you know that the opposite of fear in the Bible is not brave? It is love. Funny, isn't it? 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Church, the opposite of fear is not bravery, but it is love. Why? Because only when love is felt, the pure love of God is felt and experienced in our lives, then fear will be dealt with in our hearts. Going through fear is inevitable. Crisis is unavoidable. But if you experience God's love inside, in your heart, in the midst of fear, you can get through your fear and your crisis. Because the love of God will melt away every anxiety, insecurity, fear of loss, or anything that is holding your heart ransom from God's peace. This Christmas, don't end the year in fear, but end the year full of God's love over you so that you can see 2021 full of hope, full of faith, knowing that He has the best interest for you and I, and that you will not crumble under pressure. You will overcome fear, you will overcome anxiety, and you will face 2021 full of hope, full of faith. How many of you can say amen? I want to encourage you this Christmas, for those of you who are watching us, experience Jesus' love, come into His love, and overcome fear with His love. You know what, church? Like Mary, the story of Christmas, remember? She too was fearful after hearing news that she was chosen by God for the virgin birth. She faced the possibility of Joseph leaving her and being accused of being an immoral woman. She could be judged very harshly by the religious society of that time. And yet, upon trusting in God, fully surrendering to Him, relocating her glory to God, she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." She found strength and courage to go through the virgin birth. Remember, the angel didn't say, sorry. I tell you what, I take away the virgin birth away from you. You have gone through so much pain already. No, she still went through it. But she found strength and courage to do it. And in the end, she gave birth really to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And that's why we are all celebrating Christmas this season. Because at the other side of fear, it is always resurrection and it is always life. Let's give Jesus a big round of applause this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know what, City Harvest Church, before we end our service, please don't go away. Because I want you to experience God's love. Don't miss Christmas this year without experiencing Jesus' love for you. Because only His love can drive out every fear and anxiety that you and I are facing in this crisis of time. Don't go away. Allow God's love to saturate you and fill you all over again, because I want to pray for you. But before we pray, why don't we just open up our hearts and we sing this song to Jesus and invite God's love to fill your heart one by one. Shall we do that right now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hey, yeah, yeah. You are here. Moving in our midst, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You are here, touching every heart, and I worship you. I worship you. You
touch
are
everyone.
Here, Lord. You are here.
Touch everyone, Jesus.
Healing every heart
with your love.
I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker. Waymaker. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here.
Open up your heart.
You are here.
Yes, Lord.
Turn
wants to turn your life around.
I worship. worship you. Oh, I worship you.
This Christmas,
you are here, mending every heart. I worship you.
Touch us, Lord.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. Yes, there is who you are. That is who you are.
Hallelujah. You know what, church? Before we end our service, like I said, I want to pray for you. Because maybe some of you here, you can identify with King David and the stories that I've shared with you today. You may be with your friends watching this service, or even by yourself in the room or on your mobile devices. I want to speak to you and I want to pray for you. Friends, God loves you and He doesn't want you to stay in darkness. Christmas is a reminder that though we can go through darkness, and we all are going through darkness in 2020, but we don't have to stay in darkness inside. With Jesus, you can come out of your darkness, enter into His marvelous light. But perhaps, like what I have shared today, some of you may be experiencing fear and anxiety deep inside your heart. You are trapped in worry and feeling helpless in your current crisis. You are suffering and struggling in your mental health. Church, there is no better way to spend Christmas this year than being touched by Jesus' love. The Savior and the light of the world, He wants to lead you out of your darkness. And maybe there are many of you who don't know who Jesus is or have no relationship with Him. There is darkness inside your heart that makes you feel hopeless or helpless. Friends, the Bible calls it sin. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Like David, it's time to do things differently. Put your hope in Jesus. Let Him come in. Drive away that sin, that darkness inside your heart. Relocate your glory. Or maybe there are many who used to be close to Jesus, but because of problems in church or even life, you may have drifted away from Him. This season of online service, because of the lack of community, many feel far away from God, and many of you have stopped attending church. But you don't have to feel that way anymore. Jesus loves you. Relocate your glory back to God and let Him fill you with hope and meaning this Christmas season. If that is you, you want me to pray for you, you want your sins forgiven, you want to get out of your darkness, you want your darkness replaced with hope and light. Or if you have drifted away from God and today you want to come back to Him to relocate your glory back to God, I want you right now, wherever you are, there is no altar call for you to come forward. But right now, wherever you are, inside your heart, you say, "Yes, Pastor, that's me. Yes, Pastor, that's me." Say it in your heart. Or if you're watching with your friends, I want you to turn to your friends and say, "Please pray for me." Say, "Yes, that's me. Yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, I want my darkness go away. Yes, I want to relocate my glory back to God. Yes, I want to come back to God. Yes, I want my sins forgiven. Yes, I want to experience God's love. If that is you, I want you right now, say yes to God. Inside your heart, say yes. Inside your heart, you lift up your hands. Inside your heart, you say, Pastor, please pray for me. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? If that is the cry of your heart, if that is you, you have just made that cry and prayer to the Lord. I want you to follow this prayer after me. And I want to invite everyone who is watching this service today to also follow this prayer after me. Everyone. We all need the love of God. But especially those of you just now who said, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want my darkness to go away. I want to get out of fear and anxiety. I've been drifted far away from God. And now I want to come back again to God. If that is you, I want you to follow this prayer after me. Are you ready? Follow after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I receive you into my heart.
I receive you into my heart.
Drive away every darkness.
Drive away every darkness.
Every sin.
Every sin.
In my life.
In my life.
Every fear.
Every fear.
Every anxiety.
Every anxiety.
Let your light.
Let your light.
Come into me.
Come into me.
And drive out.
And drive out.
Every fear.
Every fear.
And darkness.
And darkness.
This Christmas.
This Christmas.
Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I need the Holy Spirit.
I need the Holy Spirit.
To bring me back to you.
To bring me back to you.
Today.
Today.
I relocate my glory.
I relocate my glory.
All those worldly things.
All those worldly things.
That I have put my identity on.
That I have put my identity on.
I give it all up.
I give it all up.
I put my faith in you.
I put my faith in you.
I put my trust in you.
I put my trust in you.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give every one of our friends here a big round of applause. Thank you for making that prayer. Thank you for making that prayer. Come on. If you are next to your friends and you pray along with your friends, come on, encourage them. Come on, let's sing together. Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
One last time. Hallelujah. One more time, let's give all our friends a big round of applause. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. You know what? Thank you for inviting Jesus into your heart this Christmas. For those of you who have made that prayer with me just now, I want to thank you and would like you to do the following with me. We are here for you and we want to connect with you. Right now, you can scan the QR code on your screen or find the link in our live chats on Facebook, YouTube, or even the CAC app. There is a link there. Click on that link so that we can connect and help you with this newfound faith in Jesus. Please, let us walk with you as you discover more about Jesus and His love. City Harvest Church, friends, thank you for your participation and we hope you can join us again online next week for our Christmas service, or better still, join our vibrant community so that you can grow and be encouraged in your faith in God. You know what? Thank you for being with us here today. God bless you, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Remember, click on that link if you have made that prayer together with me. Thank you. God bless you.
Are you blessed by this week's podcast? Tell us at connect@chc.org.sg.